Well, next hour, we're going to talk about the power of the mind. When we come back with John Brakey and Tim White, we'll continue talking about election transparency. We'll take your phone calls as well on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, John Brakey with us, Tim White. We'll get your phone calls as well this hour. John, do you think that the American public feels as if they're getting a fair shake when they go in to vote and that their vote counts?
You know, I have to say that because of 2016, because of all the media, you know, we seem to believe that 2016 was the year that the American public realized that their vote was in danger. It's constantly in the news, okay?
Yeah.
And because of that, people are far more aware and concerned. And by the way, you know, a lot of people I know don't vote. And you know, the largest political body of people are people who don't vote at all. In the 2016 election, there was 107 million people who were registered or not registered who did not vote. And I believe that a lot of people will come back into the fold as soon as they know that elections really matter and that they are counted and they're verified.
Well, that's true. Now, I got to tell you, I do not vote for the presidency. And let me tell you why. When I was a younger kid, I had heard that Walter Cronkite never voted to remain impartial. And I always told myself, gosh, when you get into radio and television, you can do the same thing. And I have always felt, John and Tim, that for me to remain totally impartial, no favoritism. I don't want to be able to say I supported President Trump or I supported Hillary Clinton. I can go right down the middle and say, I didn't vote for any of them. I'm calling every issue I see, good or bad, the way I see it. And I've always done it that way, John.
Well, that's commendable. It really is. And, you know,
I'm in a unique situation.
Yeah. Well, George, you're a journalist.
Yes.
And that's really important in journalism. But we do have a problem with you transfer that same concept to, say, secretaries of states and election administrators. Were they trying to put forth that they are neutral, honest, scrupulous, high integrity, unbiased?
How can they if one's a Republican or a Democrat?
The fact of the matter is there is no one on this planet who doesn't have an interest in who runs the United States. There is no trustworthy, neutral source to count our ballots without us looking over their shoulder and watching everything they're doing because they have an interest, and that's okay. But we need to especially watch out for the officials who claim that they don't have a bias. We know that people have biases. What you do is you control for bias. You can't eliminate it. You control for it. And the answer is transparency. And to answer your question that you asked me before the break of what is my level of confidence in this coming election, it really depends on the transparency. Once we have, and they're moving fast in this direction, once you have voter-marked paper ballots, that election is verifiable. But it isn't actually verified unless they release these documents so that we can see how they're being counted. And that's why what Bev Harris christened it the Brakey method. That is the focus of the work that we at electionsusa.org, that is what we are trying to do. And it has three parts. First, you save those ballot images, those pictures of the ballots. You don't destroy them. Second, because they are anonymous and actually the votes are captured off of the image of the ballot, not off the paper ballot. So they're not just a backup. You have the paper ballot, then you have the image, and then you have the winner. They sit right in the middle of that chain of custody. Those ballots should be posted online. Anyone in the world can go through those ballots. Maybe you have your auntie who's running for the local port commission, and you're only interested in a few precincts. You can go online and look at those certified copies of the ballot, and you can do the tally yourself and check. In fact, we could have thousands of citizens across the country doing crowd counting, crowd auditing. If you can imagine that, you could do two precincts, 50 precincts. There's open source software that allows you to count those images just the same as the companies.
Well, then I think that's critical, Tim, that these images need to be counted by somebody if they're going to save them.
And so far as I'm concerned, if we have that kind of transparency, I don't care who counts. I don't care. Putin can count the American election.
Kim Jong-un.
If we have transparency, he's not going to be able to get away with cheating. The answer isn't to have honest people. The answer is to have verification.
Right.
And the best way to do that with these ballot images, post them online, let anyone count and compare their count with the official count. And if there's a problem, let's do it over, look more closely, recount those, find out where the problem is.
John, what were you saying about that?
Well, he's right on. I mean, this is the trick, is to take away their impunity, is to do that. And by the way, you know, the Brakey method is nothing that us Brakeys invented or anything like that. It's really a pun. The Brakey method puts the brakes on election fraud. We could take the black box, turn it into a transparent box, and that is the ultimate goal. Now, of course, there's other problems that we have to worry about. You know, we're afraid of ballot harvesting, ballot stuffing. The vendors have too much power. And, you know, I mean, let's just look at the vendors for a minute, okay? You know, there's four or five big ones, really just one big one, which is 60%. Dominion now owns Sequoia and the old Diebold line. And
who owns that company?
They are owned by corporations, but, you know, well, put it this way.
U.S.-based or foreign?
Well, the Dominion is out of Canada, believe it or not.
All right. Well, I trust the Canadians.
Yeah, well, good.
I don't know about the company, but I trust the Canadians.
I want to verify for all, but I can tell you this. All of these voting companies have STDs. And what I mean by that is that they're kind of a little joke, but it's software-transmitted disease. I bet you thought it was the other one.
I did. I'm trying to figure out how a computer could come down with that, right?
Well, very easily, because they've all been in bed with each other in partnerships and different things like that, and they share software code.
Interesting.
And Fraction Magic, which you know about from Bev, you know, that's in all of them. Okay, we can see that. And that the relationship between, you know, let's put it this way. Before Dominion got Diebold, it went to ES&S, okay? The owners of ES&S and Sequoia were brothers at one point in time 15 years ago, okay? I mean, it's really a situation that we are voting on stuff that's secret software, and if we do not come up with a situation, and what really alarms me and where I'm out here working it really hard with others in the team and Tim, is that we know that if we don't do something now, okay, in this cycle, in the next cycle, then we have to worry about the third big problem, which is gerrymandering. And that will happen with the next census. And that's when you have politicians picking their voters because they draw bizarre lines. And we're not going to get this ship turned around until we have a voting system that we can believe in.
What do you think of voting via touchtone phone, where people don't even physically?
Terrible idea. Okay.
Or online, same thing.
Terrible. Okay. Bad idea. Okay.
All right. Let's take the calls.
If it can't be verified,
it's not worth doing. Okay. Let's go to the calls. First time caller Ken in Fort Worth, Texas. Ken, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I was running the election, and my machine started shooting that paper out of the back, and I never pushed a button on an eagle.
Oh, jeez. It was all computer-type booth?
I don't know. We had trouble with it. We had to chase ahead. And all at once, the thing started shooting paper. I called up and said, hey, shooting paper. He said, well, unplug it. I did plug it back in. Still shooting paper. And the lady comes and we got to count the whole city. And they did. They recounted it. Because of my machine, out of 440 machines,
gosh.
I wish somebody would get sued.
John, have you heard of anything like that?
Well, I've heard all sorts of stories, and that does not surprise me. Sometimes these machines have a problem, and they break down. And was this an Optech Eagle?
You know what brand it was? Yeah, you can go in either way you want, you know.
Was it so? It was paper-based. You filled out a ballot, and it went into a scanner?
Yeah, it's called the Eagle machine. Maybe they vary from state to state. I don't know.
Yeah, no, they do. And they've had different brands and come out.
Too bad you can't standardize that.
Yeah, it would be nice.
It would be better, wouldn't it?
Well, thanks, I think so, but, you know, sometimes variety is a good way of a check and balance. You know, all I can tell you is all the new scanners are digital scanners, and the optical scanners are going bye-bye, and that's a real blessing. I know that, let's say, for example, in Wisconsin, you know, we found that with some of these old optical scanners, the error rates were just outrageous. And in some precincts, they had an error rate of as much as 30%. And nothing was done about it because there wasn't a procedure to handle it. And we found that it may have not been fraud. It was just dust bunnies and the machines getting old. I mean, do you own a computer that's 15 years old?
Nobody does.
Nobody does. And that's what we got with these old scanners. And they say that they're accurate in one mark and 500,000. That was a lie. They really, the system that they pushed out of the Help America Vote Act that we call the Hack America Vote Act, okay, was a system built by security by obscurity. It, don't tell anybody how bad it is. I mean, they went to Malaysia, they built these DREs for $500 and turned around and sold them for $7,000. And they were poorly built. Only years later, the screens start delaminating, and that means you have a problem with the touch screen. And they're they had no paper trail, and the paper trail they had was just didn't work half the time. I mean, they're going bye-bye. You know, we've worked hard over the last 14 years, and now we got paper coming back in because of these new scanners being digital, and thank goodness that these optical scanners went extinct, and they should have went extinct a long time ago. And but, of course, they did not want these ballot images. A lot of people call them a can of worms, you know. They want to make believe they don't exist. We never turned it on. I mean, I've heard so many stories from people that I have to, you know, I get angry, but I laugh about it because it just shows me, you know, hey, you know, why am I a transparency activist? Let's go back to that. I used to be an integrity activist, but I realized the system has very little integrity. And so I'm working towards a solution. And the solution is to turn the lights on, transparency, and watch the cockroaches run for the corners.
Exactly. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think the candidates who are running in the elections know that they may have a group of people on their side who would hack into different state election results and do whatever they had to do? Or do you think they just do a kid's hands-off thing and they don't want to know about it?
They don't want to know about it, and they're too busy running, and they don't really understand, unless they're a seasoned politician, how rotten the system really is. And then when they lose, they're afraid of being called a sore loser. They spend all their money, and they're in debt. You know, it's a perfect formula for a disaster.
Let's go next to Cornelius in Alexandria, Louisiana, who had an election, his own election, this weekend. How'd you do, Corny?
Oh, George, John, and Tim, the coast-to-coast candidate went down in flames, but he...
Oh, no.
Oh. I was just telling Barry, I only got 108 votes, but I went down in flames, but I'm still hanging
well,
in.
Well, at least you know you have 108 coast-to-coast listeners out there.
Hey, John and Tim, I'm the God, Guns, and Gold man, the Bible, Bullets, and Beans man. I was running for city marshal of Alexandria. It's a lot like being Matt Dillon in Dodge City. But, George, I appreciate all y'all's support. But this is my question for you. See, I didn't have all that money, like you were saying. Some of these people are spending thousands of dollars on TV ads, radio ads, and newspaper ads. So I see what he means about you need a whole lot of money.
Lose.
You need a whole lot of money either way.
I don't think you can win an election this year, Tim or John, unless you got a big pile of cash behind you. Is that pretty accurate?
Well, I think that's absolutely accurate. I mean, there are so many vulnerabilities in our elections, and what John and I are working on, we can't solve everything. We're really working on what happens after the ballot is cast. There's so much stuff before the ballot is cast of who gets on the ballot and what happened in the primary and
gerrymandering and how much money they've gotten, who's giving it. Those are all problems that there are many people working on and are extremely important. But none of that's going to matter if they aren't counted right.
Right.
So the way I look at it, it's all about the transparency. If it's transparent, you can have a core of people that are going to try to steal the election, but if they've got impunity, they might try to do that. But if you're watching close enough, it doesn't matter who counts, what company it is, open source, closed source, because you're verifying everything that they are doing. The only thing that's secret in elections is how you and I actually vote on our ballots,
exactly.
Who we vote for. Everything else is public and subject to verification.
What is easier to fix, a small county issue in a vote or something much broader, a statewide election or presidential election?
To me, it would be where it could be small, it could be big. It depends. If they're not verifying, that means you're not getting a tetanus shot. Okay, and that means you're susceptible of catching a bad virus, and they know that. They the people who do these elections and manipulate, they got a lot of money. They know where they can do it and where they can't, and that's why we want to immunize the whole country by bringing these images forward that they are hiding, George. They are lying. Okay. And I'm in Ohio. I mean, the story that's going on here is just bizarre of what they want to do and what they've changed. I've been watching Ohio for many years because Pima County and Cuyahoga County had the same equipment, and I have family in Cuyahoga. And so I started following their procedures. And now, all of a sudden, they want to start counting early votes, absentees, 19 days before the election. And I know that game. I know what they're up to. They want to sneak and peek. You know, the best pollster in the whole world is those actual votes. And it'd be very easy in a county like Cuyahoga to have their first day of counting count 30,000 votes, and then they stick a thumb drive in the machine. They're going to say, oh, we're going to save it over here in a vault, but it goes into a laptop. And what do they got? They got the results. Now they know the football scores, you know, what, 2.5 weeks before.
Well, and you can generally tell with 35,000 votes who's going to win that state, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, this is, and I know how this machinery works. I know that the DS850 that they're using all over the country is a storage device, and it's very secure. And when they stick that thumb drive in there, the machine reacts to it. So then they have to go through a whole procedure to run the next count. It's a terabyte drive. Okay, it's made to stay there in a secure room that's locked down, not pulling it out every day. That procedure to me is saying, hey, we want to sneak and peek. Maybe we're not going to cheat, but I'd like to make sure I knew who was winning or losing, and I could say, hey, George, you know, if you work a little harder, and if you get another couple hundred votes, you're going to win. You see what I'm saying?
Got it. We're going to come back and take final phone calls with both of you in just a moment. The website, of course, auditelectionsusa.org, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast with John Brickey and Tim White. Our final segment here is we'll get to your calls as we talk about election transparency. Man, technologically, you think we can pull this off, John, and get this fixed?
If we, you know, do what we're doing and this thing could escalate, that's what we're planning to do. Yeah, I think so. But it's going to take people getting involved, and this is where we felt it was a very great opportunity to come on your show.
Absolutely.
And to get people educated. You know, I'm out here investigating, educating, and getting to wonder, am I going to litigate in this state or not? Because when I find that they tell me that, we turned that feature off. Our machine doesn't create images, and I know difference. I'm an expert in this stuff after 14 years. I've been out here 6 weeks. I go home Saturday. And I haven't seen my family. I miss them. But it's been a great trip. I'm meeting great people. people. We're organizing in states from Maine to Virginia. And when I get home for a couple of weeks, then I'm going to go back on the road again and do it again in other states. And you know, that's hope. It really is. I mean, you know, John F. Kennedy was right when he said that one person can make a difference and everybody should try. You know, I'm out here preaching the seven C's: character, capacity, credibility, you know, civility. I can call you a bad name real nicely, okay? Citizenship, how important that is, love of country. But the most important C of them all is that we need to be courageous. We need to go, but when you get courageous, I mean, be courageous, not stupid. You know, what kind of a character has the capacity to do something really stupid and destroy its credibility? So that means you need to form small groups with like-minded people that you respect, and you can call up and say, hey, Bill or Arlene, I see this opportunity, and sometimes it don't lead if it bleeds. I'm going to stand up, and I might get arrested. And because civil disobedience done respectfully, civilly, is important. I've been arrested in the last, you know, 7-8 years, probably about 5 times, and I beat every one. And
for what? For civil disturbance? What?
No, I caught them in one time, you know, that they brought the ballot bags. They were doing an audit, and I could obviously see that the seals weren't matching the bags. And once I figured out the scam, they ordered me out, and I said I couldn't leave. It was my responsibility. I was representing two parties, so they had me arrested. That changed the whole system.
Did you? But you won?
Of course I did.
Good for you. Let's go to Frank in Hollywood, Maryland. Frank, go ahead.
Howdy, George. Glad to be back.
Hi there, Frank.
I want to talk about voter suppression. But before I do, when did the vote go from 21 years of age to 18? You can answer that as you go along. But voter suppression, this robocall system that this guy in Baltimore working for the Republican Party, he hired him three elections. And what he did was he would call senior citizens and black voters saying, hey, we got this wrapped up. You don't even have to bother coming to the to vote. We got it won. Our candidate is won. And he got arrested, but he weaseled out of it somehow or another.
By the way, 1971 for your 18-year-old question.
Okay, right. I would make it a felony with 15 years. And then the other suppression, if four Hispanic men named Jose Rodriguez, I mean, that's a very common name, a Hispanic name, and with the four guys with the same name, they got different addresses, but they try to suppress that vote, saying that it's one person voting four times. They do this, especially the Republican Party. They do this every 4 years in the election. And I'm sickened and saddened, puzzled and befuddled, confused, bemused at this system. They allow this robocalls. And that's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
Okay. Sounds like there's a song there somewhere.
And there is, and because it's the oldest technique, it's been around since our country started. Women couldn't vote. Black people were counted as 3/5. You know, this is the history of our country is stopping people from voting, okay? And like I said earlier, that Help America Vote Act, when they took those databases and aligned them, and, you know, that was aim at knowing how we vote, suppressing, you know, it's incredible the games that are played. And that's where, to me, if you want to solve a problem with somebody breaking into a database, let's make that transparent. 15 states already have same-day registration. If the Russians or anybody's hacking the voter database and you show up, George, to vote, and they say, we're sorry, George.
You already voted. Yeah.
Yeah, or you already voted. Then you get a provisional. But if you haven't, your registration was changed, then you should be able to fix it on the spot.
Absolutely. I mean, how do people, John?
Get a credit card at JCPenney's and get a discount and walk out in 15 minutes.
How do dead people vote in some of these city elections?
Oh, that's how that could be happening is that they know they got the voter database, the vendor has your signature on file. You move from Arizona to New York. They know you're not there. They have machines verifying the signatures. And so who knows that that machine is verifying a picture of a signature.
And, but who's feeding the dead vote? Who's doing it?
Again, I would be speculating, but there's definitely special interest, and it has probably got through the vendors and their systems.
Yeah.
Because the voter databases are all managed by private concerns.
It's inside. It's an insider
it's
thing.
It's all insiders. It's awful. It really is. And it's not verifiable, and that's what we work for. Again, is to have systems. They're simple, but they want to throw complex things, $6,000 pencils that, you know, they want to sell us machines now. Instead of you marking your own ballot, you walk in and here's the machine, you push a button, you decide what you want, then it prints out a ballot, and then you walk over and put it in an optical scanner. What do you got? $6,000 pencil.
Before we go back to more calls, tell me about the movie Fatally Flawed.
That's a movie that we made, believe it or not, about 8 years ago.
Yeah, 2009, wasn't it? Something like that? Yeah.
And it was just it really was an incredible tale of a $2 billion heist. We knew exactly how they rigged the election. It was a bond election. And they programmed the memory cards with positive and negative numbers, just like in the movie Hacking Democracy. And we even had a confession. We won three cases to get the evidence. And at the end, they wouldn't let us present the evidence. And we went through the appellate court, the Arizona Supreme Court, and won. We went back after 6 years, and then we got booted again, and it was sent to another court because they rigged it to be able to shut us down. After that, we decided to go approach it a different way, and it was depressing to spend 9 years in a case. But it made me smarter. You know, to make me the activist that I am, I went up against the worst state in the union and got trained. Arizona is rated 51st out of 50 states. Now, that's because they count D.C. That's how bad Arizona is.
Gosh.
When it comes to voting. But it's only rated that bad because people like me and Tim and Bev and Bill and a lot of other people have hammered and got that exposed. And that's what we're out here teaching, is how to look, how to figure it out in layman's language. And if more people get involved, we'll take it back. Just like today we're here, those DREs that they forced on us back in 2000 and 2002, they're all going bye-bye. You know, we change is slow. And I really believe that we're going to make an impact.
Well, let's hope so. Back to the calls. Let's go to Gene in Vinto, Iowa. Hi, Gene. Go ahead.
Hi, good evening, George.
Hey there.
First thing, I just got to make a comment before my question.
Sure.
You brought up a word, citizenship. That kind of got me thinking that part of citizenship is voting. It's very important that people do. Anyway, if you were... The election transparency is very important to me as well, but I think, and I want your opinion on a federal voter ID, whether you're voting local, federally, or anything, if you had to have federal voter ID that was legitimate, you should be covered. If you have a database, that's legit as well. I'm just curious what your thoughts about
that. All right, let's start with you, Tim. Tim or John, who wants that?
Tim, you take it.
Well, again, I'm kind of on the technical side. I'm really dealing with what happens after that voter mark paper ballot is turned in.
Okay.
The problems before that, there are many, and there are groups working on these issues. Certainly, who votes is one of the things that must be public. Who is qualified to vote? And we don't want people voting who aren't qualified, and that is part of the picture. But what we're really focusing on here is getting the accurate count. And the breaking method of posting online the digital images of the ballots is not a new idea. It's not just elegant.
And you're not showing the person's name, right?
Well, these are anonymous ballots.
They're anonymous, yeah.
By every state requires the ballots be anonymous. And one thing we know, none of these election administrators are going to dare post a ballot online that is traceable. The breaking method is a way of guaranteeing the secrecy of the ballot because they're never going to allow those ballots to be seen if they can be traced.
Now, what do you think of his question of a federal ID card? Would that work?
You know, I would say this is that, you know, this thank goodness the ACLU went into Kansas, and they went after the Secretary of State there, who's running and claiming everybody's voting illegal or whatever. And it turns out he brought his best witnesses in. He's probably going to be censored. And now he's called Elmer Fudd, and he's got a bazooka chasing flies. and it's just incredible how they look here, voter fraud, it just proves that we live in an Orwellian world.
Yep.
You know, I want you to know, a lot of the election fraud, that the voter fraud that they're finding, I mean, first off, voter fraud is by voters. Election fraud are by insiders, vendors, you know, people who do massive amount rather than blaming some poor Mexican guy and say they came over here because they wanted to vote. No, they wanted to make a living, and they really have blown this thing out terribly. And it turns out when we do catch people doing voter fraud, a lot of them are Republicans because they believe the hype and they think they're fighting fire with fire.
Huh, interesting. Hey, some of the things the ACLU has done has been superb. The one issue I have with them is when they fight cities that put nativity scenes in the front of their building during Christmas. Leave that alone. What the heck,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Joe in Long Island, New York. Go ahead, Joe.
All right, two quick questions. Donna Brazile wrote a book. She dedicated it to Seth Rich, and she said she was afraid she pulled down her shades. And I'm wondering if he was potentially a leaker to WikiLeaks and somehow was identified.
Well, the family's very upset. I think they've sued some outlets who have accused him of doing so. But, Tim, John, do you want to touch that?
Well, the only thing, I have no proof what he did. All I know is that as soon as he was murdered and I found out, I reached out to people and said, this is a guy that I'd like to talk to. And then you start checking into it and knowing, like I said earlier, the thumb drive, it was a thumb drive that did it. I don't know if Seth did, but he was sympathetic to the campaign of Sanders. He was receiving the phone calls from AIT guys saying, come on, Seth, what's going on here?
It was ironic. The guy was killed in a robbery and nothing was taken from him.
Yeah, and I'd say this, thank God for Donna Brazile. She got redemption for coming out, okay? You know, we know now that Perkins Coie, this big law firm who represents the Democratic Party, sold Hillary for $12 million to DNC, and she was in charge way before the primary even started. Well, and that was a big no-no.
Go back to Joe first.
Against Sanders.
Joe, what was your second question?
Yeah, okay, now Hillary Clinton cultivated a lot of foreign actors as the Secretary of State and got fairly large donations to the foundation. She facilitated, or was one of the actors in facilitating, a uranium transfer to Russia.
Yep.
So I'm wondering if some of these foreign actors also came in against Sanders because they had already cultivated that relationship with Hillary Clinton and made payments to the foundation.
This is getting back to impunity. So long as we have impunity, we're going to have people exercising crime. Crime is that you have your motive. Everyone has a motive about
opportunity.
Opportunity, and then means. And so long as those exist, you have vulnerabilities and you have risks. And the only answer to that is this radical transparency. Let anyone in the world verify the American elections. And then it doesn't matter. Everyone has a motive, not just the Russians, not just the Democrats, not just the Republicans. Everyone has, and we can expect that. We don't even have to judge that. What we need to do is to be able to detect it, deflect it, and correct it.
And in 10 seconds or less, Tim, let me ask you, can somebody from their home who's an expert in computers hack into some city election and change it? Yes or no?
Yes.
John?
It would be hard, but yes, if they have the know-how and they are leaked certain formulas.
All right, my friend. Stay with us. We're going to talk to both of you again as we get close to the 2020 election, which is not that far away.